worship. Tanner is headed to USM this fall on a music scholarship. They had orientation this week, and so he was down there, and they introduced them to university life with a pop quiz. And so they had a music theory pop quiz, and they told them before the quiz, they said, "Now look, throughout the summer, all the people that have come, you know, nobody has scored more than a 30 on this. We're not expecting you to pass it. We just want to kind of gauge what you know." Well, Mr. Smarty Pants here made an 87. Amen. Listen, man, we're grateful for Tanner and for his willingness to help us out here. We're blessed. I pray for him. Pray for his success there at USM. But pray that he's not real successful, just enough that he can come back here in but like 4 years and help us out here, right? All right. So that's what we're praying. But we're thankful this morning. Speaking of smart people, my little granddaughter just always amazes me, and she loves to read, and she shares things with Rhonda and I about things that she's read. And one of her favorite books is a book entitled "I'm Just No Good at Rhyming." And in this book, there's a little story, and maybe you can identify with this morning, okay? So let me just share this with you. It's entitled "The Monster Under My Bed Instead Is Dead." The monster under my bed is dead. I should be shouting, "Oh boy," and out celebrating, and stand up ovating, and leaping and weeping with joy. The monster under my bed is dead. So why am I not more elated? There's a brand new monster in my closet. He's the one who ate it. Can you identify with that this morning? I mean, it seems like whatever problem, whatever trouble it is, seems as though when that goes away, the only reason it goes away is because something bigger, something worse, some greater catastrophe comes, right? It's like, what else could happen next? And it happens, right? Have you been there this week? Have you been there over the last season in the life, maybe? It just seems like troubles mount and difficulties come, and it seems like the harder we trudge, the deeper we get. Well, I want you to find your place with me this morning in Psalms, in the third chapter, Psalms chapter 3. I love the Psalms, and I especially love this Psalm of Psalms 3. The entire book of Psalms is written by David and others, and they write out of the experience of their life. That's why I call it life songs. It's more about songs about life. And they're all different, and they're all about different seasons and struggles of life and joys and celebrations and victories and just the whole gamut of life. The Psalms covers that. And so that's why that Psalms is such a popular book for many to read, because we identify with it so much. Shakespeare wrote, "I am a wretched soul that has been badly bruised by adversity." And in this Psalm, Psalm 3, David is expressing his adversity. He's expressing his bruising. He's revealing those things that have caused him problems in life and the struggles. And this whole psalm, actually, Psalms 3, is written out of reflection of the time in his life when his own son Absalom had led a revolt against him. Okay? Maybe you feel like your own kids have turned against you sometimes. Maybe you feel like all of life has turned against you. That's how David felt. And so here in Psalms 3, we begin, "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me." Can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, he's like, "Lord, every time I turn around, it looks like they're more behind me, chasing me than there were before," right? "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, 'There is no help for him in God.' But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." Hey, listen, If you're all pooch-lipped and your lips dragging the ground and your head's down this morning, God says, hey, pick your head up. Look at me. He says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbones. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. David expresses a myriad of emotions here and things that he's gone through. He's been bruised, not just on the outside, but he's been bruised on the inside. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, if we're honest with one another this morning, we will admit that the bruises on the inside hurt a lot worse than the bruises on the outside, right? Those things that we internalize, those things that hurt our emotion and our heart and our spirit, it's those deep, painful bruises in our life that's much deeper than skin that really weigh us down. And the trials of life that have been brought into our lives, the disappointments, the defeats, the discouragements, even the deaths sometimes, all of those seem to diminish the dreams that we have. And so in this psalm, we're confronted with the trials and the sorrows that we all face. You know, even as children of God, David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And even David experienced all kinds of troubles. That ought to be good news for some of us this morning, right? We're not in this thing alone, right? Our troubles and the trials and the difficulties that we experience in life, yes, some of those we bring on ourselves. Sometimes we make things worse than what they could be. But listen, we all struggle through trials and difficulties in life. It has absolutely nothing to do with how spiritual or how unspiritual you are. Even the most spiritual of folks have troubles. I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes I hear people, you know, well, I'm just too blessed to be stressed, and you know, all this kind of stuff, and you look at them, and they're always happy, and they're always smiling, they're always laughing, they never have a bad day, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing, dude? That is not the thing that I see in the Bible, you know? I mean, listen, you can be fake and you can be phony, but we need to get real this morning and acknowledge the fact that sometimes we get hurt in life, and we struggle. And even as Christians, we don't always have it together. Even as Christians, we don't always have the answers. And David here just pours out his heart, man. David just gets real transparent. He kind of pulls back the curtain and lets us in and lets us see. And so when we look at this passage, notice we see the trials and the trust and the triumph in David's life. And so notice with me, first of all, notice the believer's triumph. He says here in verse 1, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. I mean, how many have come on? And there are many. I mean, it's so many, he can't even number them all. He says it's an increase of those. Listen, we all go through these trials. And so the psalmist answers the question for us by pointing out that the trials come because, first of all, there's an enemy out there. You need to understand, the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Every day when you wake up, the devil's already been up 30 minutes ahead of you. He's already been plotting and planning on how he can destroy you, you know? Sometimes you think you just got up on the wrong side of the bed. Listen, the problem is that the devil was waiting on the side of the bed for you, okay? There is an enemy out there. And so we think, first of all, about the oppression of the enemy. You have to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 16 in verse 5 where we see the details of what's going on here as David is fleeing from Absalom. We read that Absalom and all the people and the men of Israel came out to Jerusalem. And they're all fussing and fighting. They're all hollering at David, and they're coming down on him. And the oppression of the enemy is felt in the multitude of the trials and all the harassment. Charles Spurgeon said, "Troubles come in flocks. Yea, sorrow hath a numerous family." Right? I'm telling you, trouble seems to come not just in ones and twos and threes. They come in flocks. It is just the overwhelming oppression of the enemy. That he's constantly pressuring us. That he's constantly attacking us. Listen, man, the devil loves to try to use shock and awe, if you will, to just overwhelm us. And so when we think about this passage, you know that David had some advisors, some folks that were trying to help him. There were a few that were still loyal to David. Ahithophel, who counseled Absalom. He says that he took 12,000 men to go in instant pursuit of the king. And it's in this backdrop of these 12,000 that are coming down. He says, "How are they increased who troubled me?" See, first of all, it started off with old Absalom. Absalom was standing out there at the gate. And he began by saying, "Well, if I was king, I would hear your cases. If I was king, this is what I would do for you. If I was king, this is how much better life would be." And now it's gone from Absalom to 12,000. It's that oppression that weighs us down. You know what I've realized in life? Stress is not that stressful until it gets too stressful. You'll catch that in a little while. Stress is not that stressful until it becomes stressful. Hey, you can deal with one thing, right? One little matter can you handle that, right? You don't even have to pray about that, right? You're spiritual enough, strong enough, you can handle that, right? And two levels of stress, well, you know, you might want to say a little prayer, okay? Three levels of stress, you might want to ask somebody else to pray for you, you know? But as it builds up, then all of a sudden, some little old insignificant something that you thought you could handle on your own, when that's added to it, man, all of a sudden it becomes stressful. You see, it wasn't just the fact that one person was saying something. Now there's 12,000 that are coming after him. And so we see here in these trials the oppression of the enemy. Then we see the opposition of the enemy. In 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5 it says, "Now when King David came to Baharim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shammai, the son of Gera, came from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came." You ever had anybody just gnawing on you all the time and you just think, "I wish you would go away"? They're like a gnat, you know? They just constantly, they're just bickering and arguing. That's what he was experiencing. It's this opposition just constantly on him, this antagonist. And here's what's ironic about it. This was once his friend. This is once somebody who David had a close relationship with, and now they've turned on. Anybody ever had a friend turn on? See, that's how the devil works. And not only is it the oppression of the enemy and the opposition of the enemy, but then it also goes to the opinions of the enemy. Notice what it says there in verse 2. It says, "There is no help for him in God." Everybody would say, "No, God's not going to help him now." Anybody ever told you got yourself in this situation, you're going to have to get yourself out, God's not going to help you? That's a lie from the devil. But we live it, and we listen to it. See, that's what they were all gnawing on David. "David, you messed up now. Absalom's going to win. There's no way out. God's not going to help you. Look, it's just all a loss. You might as well just give up and give in," right? We've all been there before. I love what Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 15. "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my ways before him." Job hears the same thing. God's not going to help you. God's not going to answer your prayers. God's not going to listen to you. And Job says, "You know what? Even if God doesn't listen to me, even if God doesn't deliver me, I'm still going to trust him." Listen, the devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And when the devil tells you that you're ugly and that you don't matter and that God doesn't love you and that God doesn't care, you just look at the devil in the eyes and say, "Devil, you are a liar and God loves me. And I'm going to trust Him no matter what." Amen? No matter what. And so even in the midst of these trials, then we see David's trust. We see the trust that a believer in God has. Notice what he says there in verse 3. You ought to underline this, but. It's a contrast. It means things are going to change. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill." David reflects, in the midst of all my trials, when everybody said God doesn't love you, when everybody said God doesn't care, when everybody said God's not going to help him, I cried out to God, and You answered, Lord. You proved them all wrong. David put his trust in God, not in the words of men, but in the words of God Himself. When we think about this, real trust comes from a true understanding of the resources that are ours in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that trust is something that we have to learn. It's through these trials that we learn to trust God. We've had our grandkids here this week. And we were out at the pool the other day, and one, he's just like, you know, Geronimo, man. I mean, he's just jumping off the dive board. He's just going crazy. The other was like, "Nope, not doing that, not jumping off that, not jumping to you, don't want you to hold me. He just leave me alone." There's no trust factor whatsoever there. You see, it's through life, though, that we jump off and we experience God catching us. And we learn that no matter how big the jump is, no matter how big the fall is, we can trust God. Amen. That He's going to trials. We wouldn't have learned the trust. It's through the trials that we learn to trust God. You see, we learn that the safety that is in God. He says here, he says, "But you, Lord, are a shield for me, a protector for me." We learn in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, he says, "Above all." When we think about this armor of God, above all, take the shield of faith. To take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. To know that, man, when we put our faith and our trust in God, we know that there is a shield that protects us. To know that the enemy cannot get us. Because we've been protected by the shield of faith. Not only is there safety in God, but there's also a sufficiency in God. It's not only that He can protect us in these individual moments, but He can continuously protect us, no matter how long the battle might be. You see, for David, glory denoted the divine presence of God. He says here, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." The glory, You're the one that surrounds me. I'm not just protected in the front. I'm not just protected in the back. I'm protected all around. It's the sufficiency of God's safety. Listen, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Listen, we don't just have to be defended from those things. It's not that God just protects us, but God defeats the enemy before us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." He leads us to this triumph. He protects us. He watches over us. He gives us safety. Paul, when Paul had this thorn in his side there in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, "I prayed and I asked God that He would remove this thorn." And what did God say? He says, "Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn." He said, "But I will cover you with my grace, and my grace shall be sufficient." What else are you lacking? See, there's nothing else we need but God. When we find ourselves in these trials of life, there's times when God allows those trials to come into our life so that He can teach us that He's all we need. You see, when you lose everything, when David had lost the support of all of his family, when he had lost the support of the country, David found out that all he really ever needed in the first place was God. And some of you, you're trusting. You're trusting God, but you're also trusting the fact that you got a little money in the bank. You're trusting God, but you're also trusting some of the skills, talents, and abilities that God's giving you. You're trusting God, but you're also trusting some system, or something, or some job. And what God wants you to learn is, He's everything you need. He's the all-sufficient God. We also find our support that is in Him. He says there in verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. You see, it is that God was there for him. God was there to undergird him, to pick him up and to lift him up. Look over in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in the 15th chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 15 in verse 30. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. Do you see the scene here? Here is the king of Israel. Here is David, the one that they used to sing songs about, that Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000s. This is David who stood before Goliath and said, I faced the bear and I faced the lion and I've defeated them. And I know that God will give me this giant. This is the same David. And now, he's barefoot. He's got his head covered. He's trying to disguise himself. Doesn't want anybody to see him in this state. And he's on the run. He had lost all of his dignity. He had lost all of his glory. And he says here, I cried out to God, and he heard my prayer from his holy hill. In his lowest point, David learned that he could trust God, that when everybody else left him, God would never leave him, that God would never forsake him. It reminds me of Daniel chapter 3. Remember Daniel chapter 3? Just went blank. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember in Daniel chapter 3? And they were told that they were supposed to bow down to the king. And they refused to do that. The king said, well, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And the Bible says that they stoked up the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been stoked up. And they threw them in there. And even the people that took them to throw them in there perished. It burned them up because it was so hot. And then later, the king, Neb, looked down in there and he said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 in there? And now there's a 4th. And he appears as the Son of Man. It's not that God's just going to deliver you out of the fiery furnace. God goes through the fiery furnace with you. And in David's lowest point, when he was ashamed and humiliated, God was there to pick him up. God was faithful to stay with David throughout those difficult times. And he leads him then to triumph. Those trials led David to understand that he could trust God, and then he delivered David. And David experienced the triumph. Notice what he says there in verse 5. I laid down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. We're all guilty, right? Something's bothering us. Man, we're going through some trials. We're going through some difficulties. Going through some tribulations, right? And what's the best remedy for that, right? Just stay up all night and worry about it, right? That's what we ought to do. That'd be a good thing, right? Just stay up all night, worry about it, fret and stew over it. Lose sleep. That always solves it, right? David said, I lay down and sleep. Could you imagine barefooted, humiliated, scared, on the run, and yet David could lay down and rest. He could sleep because he had learned trust. And he said, you know what? God's got this. And I'm going to simply trust him. And then he goes on to say, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. One of my wife's favorite verses. The Lord just knock them in the head. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. To know that God gives us the triumph. So when we think about this victory, understand this victory, it gives us the peace of God. The fact that he could lay down and sleep is an indication that David was at peace. David wrote Psalms 23. And in Psalms 23, David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you know that a sheep will never lay down until they are certain that they are safe and protected and there is no threat of an enemy? David says, I've been able to lay down because I know I'm protected. I know there's no threat from the enemy. I'm at peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. It's that deep, refreshing sleep that David experiences. That victory, it's to realize and experience not only the peace of God, but also the power of God. Now, David had conceived his enemies were like wild beasts, like the lion and the bear in his day as a shepherd. He says there's 10,000s of them. David acknowledges that the enemy is great, but he acknowledges that his God is greater. It's not to diminish the size of the enemy. It is to elevate the size of your God. Listen, somebody will tell you, well, whatever troubles you have, those are just little pity troubles. Those are just little petty things, right? Those are little insignificant things. You just need to get over those things, right? David says, I'm not just going to get over them. I'm not just going to make them to be something small. I'm going to make my God large. I'm going to recognize that my God is big, that my God is strong, that my God is more powerful than the enemy. I love Revelation 12 and verse 11. It says, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now listen, how do we overcome the devil? How do we overcome the attacks of life? We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood of the Lamb that gives us strength. Listen, just like a lion or a bear can do nothing after their cheekbones have been smashed, I want you to know God has already slapped the devil on the cheek and broke his teeth. Amen? Amen? I'm reminded years ago, I was selling insurance door to door, and I went up and knocked on this door, and I heard this growl behind me. I turned around and looked, it was a Doberman Pinscher, Chris. I thought, dear God, the end has come, you know. By the grace of God, he went back around behind the house. I broke, ran to the door, to the car, you know. Later, I came back by, and there were some people out in the yard, and I stopped, rolled the window down. I said, and the dog was out there. I said, hey, I said, does your dog bite? He said, don't matter, he don't have any teeth anyway. I've been scared to death of that dog. He didn't even have any teeth. Some of you are scared to death of the devil, and I want you to know he don't have any teeth in his bark anymore. Amen? Praise God. There's a God. God has delivered us. God has broken the mouth of the enemy. And it leads then to the praise of God. David breaks out in song here. David says, "Oh, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people." And he's shouting glory, hallelujah. Man, he's experiencing the great victory of God, and he praises him. A number of years ago, Rhonda and I were out in San Francisco. We've been kind of on this mission of riding bikes in different states. And so we were going to ride our bikes across the Golden Gate Bridge. And so we did that. Man, it was all kind of people out there. And it's kind of amazing. When you get out there on that bridge and you stop, it moves. But they say that's in the design. Well, before we were going out there, I was kind of doing some research on it and everything. And I found an article about the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge. And it seems, though, that when they began to do construction on it, during the first half, they had 23 men fall to their death. And so they stopped construction. And they decided they had to do something to protect lives. So back in that day, they spent $100,000 on this safety netting to put under the bridge. In case somebody fell, the net would catch them and save their life. And so then they were able to begin construction again. But here's what's interesting. The last half of the bridge, only 8 men failed. And they were all saved. Nobody perished. The work was done at a 25% greater efficiency. Having the net under them didn't make them more careless. It made them more confident. You see, in our life, to know that we have a God who loves us, to know that we have a God who sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we don't have to perish, but that we can have everlasting life. He's given us this safety net because He knows we're going to fall. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He knew that we were going to fall. And so He gives us this safety net of Jesus Christ, His shed blood at Calvary to catch us, to save us, not so that we can just live life carelessly, not just so that we can go out here and just live life and just sow wild oats, but so that we can live life confidently, knowing that when we do fall, He's there to pick us up. Amen? To know that He's there to deliver us. Hey, listen, here's a good verse. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Now you hear that word triumph? I want you to hear that word always. You see what he says? "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." It's not that we just win sometimes. We win all the time. Amen? Through Christ Jesus. I don't know what it is. I don't know what monster's under your bed. I don't know what monster just ate the other monster that was after you. But I want you to know this morning, there's a God who loves you. A God who delivers you. A God who wants you to learn through those trials that you can trust Him. And having experienced that trust, you can rejoice in the triumph. There's victory in Him. Amen? Hey, let me just get you to bow with me this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This morning, in this very moment, you may be the one who says, "Preacher, man, I'm right in the midst of that trial." You may have just come out of a trial. If you're not in a trial and you hadn't just come out of a trial, buckle up this week because you may get into one. But this morning, to know there's a God who gives you triumph, who gives you a victory, that you can trust Him. So first of all this morning, is that you put your faith and your trust in Christ alone. Say, God, this morning I've been depending on something else. God, I've been waiting on another job. God, I've been waiting to get through this situation. God, I've been waiting on circumstances to change. But God, this morning, without circumstances changing, without anything else happening, God, this morning I just put my trust and my faith in You that You are sufficient God today. Would you trust Him this morning? Would you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, and be the Lord and Savior of your life? And some of you have already trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Man, you've trusted Christ for all of eternity. Now you just need to trust Him for the everyday things in life. Would you trust Him today? Father God, this morning we love You, we praise You, we worship and adore You. And so, Father, right now, God, we pray. God, I pray for individuals in this room. God, for those that are watching online, those that are listening on the radio. God, I pray this morning that You've already spoken into their heart. And God, now I pray that they would respond by trusting You. And God, experiencing a victory that can only come through Christ Jesus. God, in this invitation time, we ask You to have Your way, Lord. Father, we ask You all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, trials lead to trust. Trust leads to triumph. This morning, would you come to Christ? Hey, the altars are open this morning. Maybe you want to just come and bring that trouble up here and leave it. You know how you take your trash out to the road and trash men come and pick it up? It'd be kind of foolish to take it out to the road and then take it back to the house before the trash man came, right? Hey, why don't you just bring it and lay it at the altar? And let have it. Let God clean it up for you this morning. Would you come to Him today? As we stand and as we sing, come this morning. Oh, come to the altar.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Jesus is calling. He knows you're hurting.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise God for the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, thank you for being here today. I pray that God just minister, God heal, and God restore in your lives today. Those that have been watching, those that are listening on the radio, pray God just has ministered. And know that we're here to pray for you, man. You can send us messages. You can call us in the office. We want to be able to pray with you. We want to be able to help you through these times and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Hey, listen, just a couple of things to make you mindful of. We have Vacation Bible School that's coming up July the 17th. I know you think, well, that's a long ways off. It's going to be here before you know it. And so we're going to need some folks to help us out. So if you're willing to help us out, let us know. We'd love to have you come and help us that week. And then also just to know that our small groups will start back up the Sunday after July the 2nd. It'll be like July the 9th. And so we'll have small groups starting back up on Sunday nights then. We do have one group that's still kind of meeting, and they're going to be over at Beautiful Deliverance tonight having a meal with them. And so those that are in that group, you know where you're supposed to be. See Billy and Sandy, and if you have any questions, and they'll get you where you need to be. Also, in July and August, one of the small groups that we're offering, I'm going to be leading that, and it is a financial freedom class. And we're going to be meeting on Sunday afternoons, 5 o'clock, and then I'm going to be teaching a group outside on Monday nights as well. Not outside, but other than our Sunday night small groups. And so for those of you that are here that would like to be a part of that, please let me know so that I can have enough material ready and put together for you and all that kind of stuff. There's no charge to it. It's all going to be free. Don't believe in charging somebody to get out of debt. So we're going to help you out there. Thank you for the assistance there. But so really, if you can do that, just let me know. There's a tear off on your worship guide. You can give me your name and address. Just say, hey, I want to be a part of that class. Make a note on that. Hand it to me, and we'll make sure that we have arrangements for that. Okay? All right. Hey, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen? Amen. It's been great worship time. And we have
we have two things. One, we're going to start the cookie drive. Bible school,
okay.
So you can start bringing cookies or nabs, okay. So the children can have that at their Vacation Bible
okay.
School. And the second thing is, I'm going to be meeting with the committee, and y'all just get ready, get set, we're fixing to have some fun.
Amen. Amen.
We've got some things planned, so we're going to really have a good time.
Very good. Thank you, Miss Rhonda. They're going to our hospitality, our fellowship committee. We're going to have some things together in groups, and so Sunday evenings and different times. So it'll be great. So we're looking forward to those times as well. Okay? Thank you. Hey, listen. It's been a good morning of worship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, thank you guys. Let's sing something as we leave today. Because He lives.
Because He lives.
Let's do that.
Amen.